Welcome to Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. Now here is your host, Katrina Forseth, a missionary serving as state director for CEF of Illinois.
Hi, and thank you for listening to Telling Future Generations, where we seek to ignite God's people with a passion and to equip them in telling future generations about God and His Word. This past Christmas, I was able to teach a couple of Christmas Party Club Bible lessons in Alton, Illinois, near St. Louis in a housing project area. While I was teaching the lesson and sharing with the children the basic Christmas story about Mary and Joseph, the shepherds and the angels, I asked the children a simple question. I said, "Where was Jesus born?" Nothing. There was no answer, only a blank stare on their faces. The children had no idea where Jesus had been born, and not one child raised their hand to answer the question. So I thought I would help them a little out, and I started singing the song, "O Little Town of Nothing." Still nothing, just blank looks. The children acted like they had never had even heard that Christmas song before. So I thought I would help them out even more. I said, "Well, Bethlehem is a small town in the land of Israel. You've all heard of Israel, right?" Nothing. Not even one hand went up to say they had heard of the nation, the country of Israel. It was like I was speaking in a foreign language to them. But then as I went back into the Bible lesson about the birth of Jesus, God's Son, that's when the children connected back to the Christmas story and started tracking with me again. It was obvious that the children, they knew, or at least they had heard about Jesus, but they had no clue of the importance of Israel, the land of the Bible, God's chosen people. As I was driving back home and thinking about what had just happened, I believe there are many children growing up today, and probably many adults too, that go to very strong Bible teaching and even gospel preaching churches, but they are greatly lacking in understanding the importance of Israel and what the people of Israel has to even do with the Lord Jesus and the entire message of salvation in the Bible. But before I go further, I want to make clear that I'm not trying to make a political statement, but I do believe that God's word is clear when it comes to the importance of Israel and the Bible. We need to stand on God's word and say what the Bible says and teach what the Bible teaches about Israel, not only for our own selves and our own churches, but also for our children and for the future generations, so they will know and understand the importance of Israel, the people of God, and understand how the nation of Israel connects to the Lord Jesus Christ and the whole message of the Bible that we believe and teach and proclaim to others. The number one rule in biblical interpretation is to remember that context is king, and nowhere is this more important than and understand that the entire backdrop of the whole Bible is God working out His salvation plan through His chosen people, Israel, the nation of Israel. In the Old Testament, Israel is both the land of the Bible and the people of the Bible. And to the nation of Israel and God's chosen and called out people are given all the promises of the Bible in God's eternal covenants. In the New Testament, Israel is the land where Jesus walked and fulfilled all the Old Testament was all about, the foretelling of the coming of Christ, the promised one. The Lord Jesus Christ is both Israel's promised Messiah and the Savior of the world, the Son of God, God Himself come in the flesh. But even as we turn the pages to the end of the book in the New Testament, we see that God is not through yet with the people of Israel. God is still working out His eternal ordained plan. The scriptures tell us that when Jesus comes again, it is here in Israel, specifically on the Mount of Olives, where the Lord Jesus will touch down again with His two feet. Just as the Lord Jesus went up from this land 2,000 years ago and ascended into heaven, so will He also come down again. Jesus is coming to set up His promised kingdom and begin His eternal reign over Israel and His people and over all the nations of the earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But we need to remember that when we talk about Israel, that God is a God who keeps His promises. 4,000 years ago, the Lord made a promise to Abraham. God said in Genesis 12:3, "I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." In this one verse, we see two major promises that the Lord made to Abraham. First, God said He would bless those that bless thee, and curse those that curses thee. And this promise that God made to Abraham and to his descendants even down today has never been revoked. Secondly, we see one of the most important overall promises, covenants found in the Old Testament, that underlines for us God's unfolding plan of redemption in this one succinct statement. Both the Old Testament and New Testament are all connected together, and we see a glimpse of God's overarching and eternal plan. God says to Abraham, "In thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Do not miss this point. God says that the whole purpose in God choosing out Abraham and blessing him is that through Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. But the question is, how in the world was God going to do that? In order to understand God's promised plan, we have to go back to the beginning in Genesis to first understand the potent problem, and that is the fall of man and the entrance of sin into the world. When Adam sinned in the garden and fell from his original innocent state by completely disobeying and disregarding God's one command, all of humanity fell into sin with him. All of mankind is not just slightly damaged or partially tainted. We are bathed and basked in the seed of sin and filled with evil corruption in our innermost being from the moment of our conception. As one theologian has said, the whole of evil is in the man, and the whole of man is in the evil. But God made a promise to Adam and Eve almost immediately after their fall, because God wanted them to know that he had the remedy, and he would one day bring about his perfect promise plan. God promised in Genesis 3:15 that he was going to send the promised one from the seed of the woman, which is a foreshadowing prophecy of how our Savior would one day come. He would be virgin born in order to bypass our human sinful nature and live a perfect sinless life as both God and man, and be the perfect and righteous substitute and sacrifice for our sin. Genesis 3:15 then tells us that this promised one born would be bruised, but through his bruising he would crush and destroy forever the power of sin, Satan, and death, reversing forever the curse of sin and redeeming his fallen creation back to himself. I recently shared this whole presentation with the children at Children's Church. I told the children then to buckle up and put their seatbelts on, because we were now going to fly through the rest of the Old Testament in just a few slides. The goal was to understand how the Old Testament, all of it, points all to Christ by tracing the chosen seed line from Adam to Christ. We all know that Adam and Eve's first and second sons, Cain and Abel, were no more. Cain rose up in a jealous rage and slew his brother Abel, and then Cain, as his punishment, had to go out from the presence of the Lord. But then through their next son, Seth, God continued the chosen seed line, which takes us down to people like Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah. But the story of Noah and the flood is not just some cute children's story about some animals in a floating boat. Satan tried hard to wipe out the chosen seed line by having evil unleashed and consuming almost all the people on the face of the earth by doing and practicing evil continually, all except for Noah and his family. Noah, by God's grace, was chosen out by God and protected both him and his family to continue the chosen seed line. From Noah to his son Shem, that brings us back to Abraham and God's promise. God promised Abraham three things: a people, a land, and blessing. This was a promise of a real people, a whole nation of people without number, like the sands of the sea and stars in the sky, who would be by faith Abraham's seed. And the promise of a real land. This is not a fictional fantasy field or just a quote-unquote spiritual land, but a real promised land with real promised borders. And the promise of blessing, a blessing so big that would bless all the families of the earth through Abraham's ultimate seed, which is Christ. The scriptures, however, teach that Abraham's faith was soon tested. In Genesis 22, God put Abraham's love for him on the line when he told him to offer up his only son, the son that he loved, Isaac. The thoughts that went through Abraham's mind must have been staggering, but the scriptures tell us that Abraham staggered not in unbelief and was strong in the faith of God's promise. What Abraham in the end did not have to do was ultimately for us a picture of what God would one day do in giving up his beloved son, his only son, and offering up for him as a sacrifice for our sin. We all know the story then of Israel from here. Isaac had twin sons, but it was Jacob that was chosen by God to continue the promised seed line. After Jacob had 12 sons and had an all-night wrestling match with God, God changed Jacob's name to Israel, which means one who struggles with God. Recently, my youngest son Samuel came up with his own version of why God called Israel, Israel. Samuel said, "Do you know why God chose the name Israel for his chosen people, Israel?" He said, "To show that my God is real." Clever, and actually he's not that far off from the biblical truth, because God is real, and God chose out his people Israel to bear his name and to be the light to the nations and to show to the nations all around them that there was only one true and living God in all the earth, and that was the God of Israel. And this is what God was doing with Joseph in Egypt, and then 400 years later in the deliverance of Israel from Pharaoh in Egypt by God's chosen servant Moses, and on down to the settling of the promised land 40 years later. God was revealing that he is God, and there are no other gods besides him. Then through the line of Judah, Jacob's son, God raised up a man after his own heart to be the king of Israel, who was to be Israel's most celebrated king, King David. God made a special promise to David that one from his seed would one day come and reign forever. From David's own household and of his kingdom, there would be no end. The rest of the Old Testament then helps us then to fill in the blanks of who this promised one would one day be and how he would come. In Micah 5:2, which is a minor prophet with a major message, Micah tells us that the promised one would be born in Bethlehem, in a little town in Judea, in the land of Israel. Micah tells us that this promised one who would one day come would be both the son of David, born in the city of David, but also he would be the son of God, who is from everlasting. And that brings us all the way back to the birth of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem, in the land of Israel, is a direct fulfillment of all of Scripture, going back to Adam, Abraham, and David, and also a specific fulfillment of a minor prophet named Micah, who named Bethlehem as a specific birthplace of God's promised one 700 years before the birth of God's eternal Son. So what's the point in all this? Well, it's certainly not to berate children or a generation growing up today because they do not know the Scriptures, but it is to underline that the importance of understanding how the whole Bible all fits together and connects to Christ. God has given us His whole Word for a purpose, but it's impossible to fully understand the whole message of the Bible or even who is the person of the Lord Jesus Christ until you more fully understand the importance of Israel in God's salvation blessing plan. But what settles the importance of Israel and the Jewish people for me is that God Himself says so about the importance of Israel in His Word several times. For example, in Deuteronomy 4:7, it says, "For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon Him for?" God has a special covenant relationship with His people Israel like no other nation. And do you remember what the Apostle Paul said in the New Testament about the Jewish people in the book of Romans? Paul said, "What advantage is there in being a Jew?" And then he answers his own question in Romans 3, saying, "Much in every way, because to them was committed to them the very oracles, the word of God." And then in Romans 9 through 11, Paul expounds even further, saying that to the Israelites pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh of Christ, came, who is over all, God bless forever. Amen. These scriptures remind me of the movie The Hiding Place and what Father Tamboun said when he was questioned by his own pastor why he would risk his life and his family's life all to help and save the Jews living in Holland at that time. Papa Tamboun replied, "Remember, it is the Jews who gave us the Bible and our Savior, and so I will keep the door open to anyone who knocks," he said. But what ultimately settles the importance of Israel question for me is that Jesus Himself said so. When the Lord Jesus Christ talked with the Samaritan woman at the well, she said she had been waiting for the Messiah, but she didn't know where He would come from or where to look. And then Jesus said point blankly to her, "Salvation is of the Jews." God's plan of salvation and blessing all the families of the earth goes right through the heart of the Jewish people and the land of Israel. God's salvation plan was brought about in no other way. We need to remember today that God is not through with His people Israel. Just as the gospel message was first proclaimed from Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, from the land of the Israel, and then to the uttermost part of the earth, so the gospel needs to return back again across all the nations and go back to Jerusalem, back to the people of Israel today. May we together today not only pray for the peace of Jerusalem, but also as the Apostle Paul prayed, join him in saying, "My heart's desire and prayers to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Amen. Thanks again for listening to Telling Future Generations, and we hope you join us again next week.
Thank you for joining us today for Telling Future Generations, the radio ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship of Illinois. To learn how you can partner with Child Evangelism Fellowship to reach children in your community, please call 309-688-9699. Or visit cefofillinois.com. Please join us again next week at the same time for Telling Future Generations. I don't want to forget, so please tell me again.